welcome to Making Sense with Dustin LaMontagne from Research Capital. My name is Bryn Griffiths. Hey, Dustin, how you doing today?
Hey, real good, Bryn. How's yourself?
Fine, thank you. Boy, the news is full of U.S. election stuff. It's pretty crazy right now what's going on down there. But where do you want to jump in on this one? And how important is it?
Well, U.S. election years are interesting because from a stock market perspective, they're usually pretty healthy and financially rewarding. So whether it's Trump or Biden, who really knows at this point, a lot can happen, or maybe a dark horse candidate will emerge from one of the other parties. I would say it'd be more likely the Democrats at this point, but in U.S. election years, it's around 90% of the time stocks are positive. And I know, every 4 years you tend to have a little bit of a dip in the market, call it a little bit of a recessionary or bear market. But usually not in U.S. election years, even if it's falling in line of the cycle. So, and here's an interesting stat, Bryn. When stocks are positive to start the year in a U.S. election year in January, February, right. It's happened 14 times in the past. Mm-hmm. 100% of the time, it ends the year positive. So I'm expecting a fairly strong market. Now, we may have a dip at some point this year, of course. It is a stock market. In the short term, they're like a casino. But I do expect the market to finish positive by year end. If we're just going from a statistical, historical analysis. So, whether it be Biden or Trump, I think both have been okay for stocks in their terms. Of course, Trump got the start of the pandemic, and Biden had to navigate through the bulk of the pandemic. So, if we would look back into 2016, starting in January of 17 till when Trump left, I think the S&P 500 was up about 60% in his term. So not bad. He's typically regarded as a little bit better for the economy. And if you look at a Trump presidency, there's a couple things that are consistent. He's sort of believes in soft U.S. dollar policy, deregulation. He's probably pro for lowering taxes. He's what you'd call a classic a fiscal expansionist. So he doesn't mind loading up debt as long as the economy is growing.
He's proven that.
And of course,
yeah.
Yeah, and of course he'll have his share of tariffs and protectionism, particularly when it comes to China. So Biden, if he gets reelected, I don't know if he'll finish his term. He seems like he's a lot of times when you see him publicly speaking, it doesn't seem like he's all there. So it's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds. The Supreme Court has now ruled that Trump can be on the ballot. So he's definitely going to be running despite what individual states think. Unless he's somehow in jail or something before the November election.
Who knows, right?
Yeah. Who knows? He's involved in a couple lawsuits right now, right?
So, hey, can I ask you? So we have these two older gentlemen. They're both very known. We kind of know what they're going to do, right, for the most part. Is there, I guess, for the voter in the U.S., if I'm going to ask you to speculate, is it better to go that road with two guys you know than have somebody new come on board here at the last minute where you don't really know how they're going to respond? And then conversely, how does everything that goes on down there, how do you think Canada is going to react to all this?
From my perspective, I think that, Trump, because we're natural resource focused economy, Trump was a little better for Canada. In fact, Biden's first day in office, he did a lot of damage to the Canadian economy when he canceled Keystone. That would have been a huge project and a huge income generator for Canada. And of course, all these social programs that Ottawa wants to pay for, whether it be daycare or pharmacare or you know, what's the other one they're working on? Anyway, it slipped my mind, but we have a government in place right now, combined Liberal and NDP, that want to pay for everything for everyone. And the only way you can do that is to take it out of people's pockets, right? It's either you either go into debt or raise taxes, one of the two. So when you look at who's in the White House, I think that historically the Republicans have been a little better for the economy. But, you know, Canada has to chart their own course at the end of the day, right? We can't be worrying all the time about who's in the White House, because we don't have any control over that. So right. I'm more concerned about who's going to be in our parliament in a year's time. I'm hoping we can get some better leadership, because our country's kind of going sideways here, and I think there's a real opportunity, especially if you get a guy like Trump in, who's going to be pro-growth. I think there's a huge opportunity, given the fact that the U.S., if that economic engine starts cranking, Canada is going to be the main benefactor, right? Yep. What do they say? If the U.S. Sneezes, Canada catches a cold? Or
yes. Some, I've heard yeah, that one. Expression like that. Yeah. So how much is this of concern to people that you deal with on a regular basis? Do they just watch it casually, or are they very active when it comes to maybe analyzing what's going on with this, what's going on with that, what's going on with that?
I think there's of course, being in Alberta, I think with the energy industry being so prevalent, I think there's definitely a slant towards Trump, but I personally don't like either candidate. That's just my own personal opinion. I think that, Biden is it very clearly it looks like he's got some sort of early onset dementia. I've had enough clients go through that.
Yeah.
Where it's easily to recognize why they're not, you know, actually coming out public with it is beyond me. But, and then Trump is a little bit of a loose cannon. And, the only good thing about Trump is he's just unpredictable enough that I think he keeps the foreign he'll keep the peace a little better, because he's very unpredictable, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I think that countries are less likely to act up on his watch than under Biden, and you know, the proof's in the pudding on that. There's a war in Ukraine, and there's a war in Israel right now. So
so
but from an economic perspective,
I was just going to say stability would be the case. I think people are looking for some stability and some growth, really, isn't it? Is that what everybody wants right now?
Without a doubt. And I think that, you know, Trump saying things like he'll solve the, you know, he'll end the war in Ukraine in his first week in office, stuff like
that. Of course
he does. I don't know if that's doable or what, but, you know, he likes to spout off. But certainly there were no wars under his watch. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I still have a sneaking suspicion that the Democrats will bring out another candidate.
I was just going to ask you that. What about a latecomer into either party on the ticket? Because now we see the direction we're going with these two. I don't know. I'll be curious to see what that does. And then what's that going to do for the markets if somebody new or fresh comes in?
Well, I think the Republican candidate is set. I don't think anyone's coming in and derailing Trump at this point. But for the Democrats, the big question is, can Joe Biden actually go through and run a campaign, right? He doesn't even seem to be able to get through a speech in public right now. So I'm not sure who would I see Jon Stewart doing all these political diatribes online right now. So who knows? Maybe he's going to be a dark horse candidate, or the governor of California could step in, but
or the wife of a former president has also been mentioned a few times lately as well. So who knows?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it unfolds, right? But if the Democrats are going to get another candidate, they better get their butts in gear, because it's election's going to be here. November is going to be here real quick.
Okay, great. That's pretty much it. We stand back and we wait and we watch. And who knows what's going to happen next week and the week after that. Hey, Dustin, thanks for your time today. How does anybody get a hold of you?
You can call me on my cell phone, 780-905-7729, or you can reach me by email, dlamontang@researchcapital.com.
Thanks, Dustin. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Bryn.
Okay, well, that's it for today. We'll have more helpful hints coming your way on our next episode. Don't forget, all opinions expressed are solely Dustin's and do not reflect those of Research Capital. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon for investment decisions. Clients of Research Capital may maintain positions in the securities discussed in this podcast. Thanks for listening to Making Sense. Have yourself a great day.